This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Pitt Mailbag Show from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. We're your college writers, Christopher Carter and Abby Schnabel. As always, every week we take your questions submitted to us, answer them on all things Pitt and college sports here for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, post-gazette.com for all our written work, and find this show along with all of our podcasting content on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. Be sure to search Post-Gazette Sports Pitt Mailbag Show, brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, which has over 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are local and 80 of those local beers available on tap. Abby, we're back on the show for another week here. You had a pretty busy week covering Pitt spring football and Pitt volleyball. And the transfer portal active as always for all things college sports.
Yep, it's we always call this time a little bit of off season, but I feel like it's just as busy as maybe not just as busy as in season, but there's always something to be looking at, writing about, talking about, which makes it fun that we still, you know, we're April 15th. Some of these teams haven't played in weeks yet. We're still talking about them.
Absolutely. Let's get to the latest Pitt commit out of the transfer portal, and that's Cam Corrin out of Florida State. We had a question from Rick just about that. That's the big news. This all happened Monday morning. Cam Corrin, a legitimate starter at center, is Rick's question here. And Abby, you and I were talking about how this was the big need that Pitt had to hit in the transfer portal on. The Panthers need to be able to find someone who can play the five role, someone who can score consistently at the rim, defend the rim, and is battle-tested for ACC play. That's exactly who Cam Corrin is. This is a guy coming from Florida State. He brings experience. He made 12 starts last year, 21 starts the year before that, averaged 9.4 points last year in games, 3.9 rebounds. Though he did start less games in 2023-2024. He comes in with tons of experience. Pitt has faced him, and he's at least a traditional big who can play there. And I think just based off of what we've been able to learn from him, he's going to be more accessible. He'll give you more than what you were getting from Fetty Federico.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing I like about him is that, first of all, 58.7% from the field, amazing, especially when you're wanting someone to go down low and be able to be banged around and still finish at the rim. I think that's what a lot of people wanted to see from Fetty Federico, and we didn't really get to see. He wasn't as consistent as finishing at the rim, and this is a guy who is. And you mentioned battle tested. You'll find that that's mine and Chris's favorite word, favorite phrase is battle tested, because he's coming in playing at the same level as these guys. Like he has played against the same teams that Pitt has played. So it's not going to be like he has to make an adjustment from a mid-major to a high major. He's gone against the bigs like Kyle Filipowski. And I know Kyle Filipowski won't be here next year, but you know, that's the kind of player he's used to playing against and has shown that he's able to, you know, keep pace with those guys. And that's what Pitt needed. Pitt didn't necessarily need a star at this role. I think a lot of people would have loved to see that. But I think that we've talked about it. It was better for them to invest in their current guys while finding pieces from the portal that are going to be able to come in, be consistent. I mean, 19.4 points for him, averaging for him, is just fantastic, especially when you know you have scorers coming from elsewhere for this Pitt squad.
That's the thing, is that he's not, and we said this last week's mailbag, and I think the week before that, the goal for a center isn't the dominant center who's going to control the offense. The goal of the center is to add the piece that's going to make it easier for guys like Jalen Lowe and Ishmael Leggett to score, and that when they're being when teams are putting a lot of emphasis on guarding the perimeter or taking away the guard's movement, that if you feed the center down low, he can score because they're not paying as much attention to him. That's what they were trying to get for Fede Federico, even in against North Carolina in the semifinals of the ACC tournament. There were several feeds that Jalen Lowe gave Federico that, you know, were traditionally open plays because Armando Bacot had come off him a little bit, and it should have been paint points, but they weren't. And you could even see the frustration in guys like Bub Carrington, who were just like, you know, I know that he can't finish here and we need to get points. And that's where Coran can at least give you some advantages as the starting center. Again, not a superstar, maybe not even a star per se, but a solid role player who can fit that spot. And also maybe you get a star out of Papa Conte, who is the four-star freshman that didn't get to play this past season. And I think either way, this gives you depth where it's an either or with them. And then you still have the Diaz Graham twins. And though they're not ever going to be fives on a team, they are at least guys with length. And now you have four players with length again who can play, who can rotate around those spots.
Absolutely. That's the thing is last year we saw that they struggled with a little bit of depth because they were limited to just Fetty and Guillermo Diaz Graham, with Jorge being out with the injury and Papa Conte being out as well. It made their options really, really limited. And simply by adding Coran, you expand your options. Like you said, the Diaz Graham twins aren't necessarily a true five. They do add a lot of length down there. But this guy, Corin's a true five. He can finish down low. And it takes some of the pressure off of a guy like Pop Conte, who will be playing in his first year as a freshman or redshirt freshman. But it'll be his first year of collegiate basketball. This, by adding Cam Coran, that takes the pressure off of him. That takes the pressure off of guys like the Diaz Graham twins, Guillermo. I keep trying to say Guillermo Graham twins. It's a good add. That's what's important. This was the priority, in my opinion, was the priority. And Capel went out and got his guy.
Yeah, absolutely. But there's more work to do, and that's where our next question comes from. Scott, who asks, assuming Pitt lands Damian Dunn, what's next for Pitt in the portal? I'd love to see a big-time four and a reserve shooter. If Dunn starts at the two, is Terrence Williams a possibility? So there's a lot to unpack here. Let's start with Damian Dunn, who is a transfer out of Houston. He played as a backup role for them. He's a guard, 6'5", averaged 6.4 points per game last year at about 2.3 rebounds. You know, he, you know, came by way of Temple, where he was a double-digit scorer there before coming off the bench for the Cougars. And listen, you play with Houston, one of the top teams in the country. That by itself gets you a chance. He made four starts last season. That is an interesting piece there. But he's not a guy, in my opinion, who would start at the two when you have Ishmael Legge. And maybe I'm misreading that there entirely, but even though he has great length at 6'5", that's going to really help. And that'll be something that maybe defensively he can help where Bub Carrington was. Bub Carrington's length was a big asset to what he brought to the table. But to me, if Pitt does get Damian Dunn, there's no guarantee that they do. If Pitt does get Damian Dunn, he's more so the veteran depth that can come off the bench for Lowe and Leggett, who are starters. And that way there's less pressure on Brandon Cummings to have to grow too fast in on the roster.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. I feel like if they get Damian Dunn, it'll be difficult because I think Damian Dunn will want a starter spot since he did start, or he didn't start, but he played for Houston. And you know, you don't leave a program like Houston unless you're looking for a starting spot. And so I just don't see that being a good fit for him necessarily, simply because it seems like he would want to start. And I feel like if you're Jeff Capel, you got to put value and show loyalty to your guys at return, Jalen Lowe, and Ish Leggett, even Zach Austin in the mix there. I think more, while he'd be a great add off the bench, I think Jeff Capel would be better suited to be finding more of a combo guard for this for this spot, simply because you're losing a very talented combo guard in Bub Carrington, who was able to run the point but also able to score. And you want that on this team, especially because while Jalen Lowe is a fantastic ball handler, I was hot on him all season last season. You want a guy that's able to kind of give him a break but also be able to hit a three outside or hit a mid-range. I think while Damian Dunn would be a good piece for sure, I don't think that would be necessarily the best use of Jeff Capel's limited scholarship spots.
Agreed. I think that he would be, you know, interesting. But like you said, you know, there are other things we could use there. And it's funny, but, you know, Scott brings up a reserve shooter. To me, that's if I'm getting help for Pitt's backcourt, That's what I'm targeting. I'm looking for a three-point shooter, and maybe this can also come from the forward position, which, you know, that leads us to the Terrence Williams question here. Blake Hinson being gone is going to – you're not going to replace all 110 of his three-pointers that he made this past season, setting a school record with just hitting in the transfer portal. Even though they got Blake Hinson out of the transfer portal, you're going to have to find someone that fits that. And one person that they've contacted who's still in the portal is Terrence Williams II, who played his last year at Michigan last year. 6'7", he's a forward. And if you look at his numbers from last year, he made close to 40% of his three-pointers. That could be a guy who comes in. He averaged 12.4 points, 4.5 rebounds, also had 1.5 assists, shot 43% from the field. That could be a guy who could fit that role that Blake Hinson was in, play more of the three spot, and then give you some range as far as your shooting, so that, you know, if you still want to go get a sharpshooter at the guard position, great, awesome. But you also have a starter on the floor who can hit from deep and try to spread the floor for you a little bit more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Yeah, this is, whether it's Terrence Williams II or someone else, this is the kind of position I want for, this is the kind of player that I think would be well suited to take that, that like kind of forward guard role that we kind of saw Blake Hinson. Like, while he's a forward, Blake Hinson did a good amount of traditional guard play with right. just his three-point shooting. And that's what you want to fill this role. And I think Terrence Williams is a great great pick for that. I just don't know how hot Pitt is on him, and he is on Pitt. I think it would make sense. He's coming from starting at Michigan, a team that did terribly this past season. And this would likely be a starting spot for him because Pitt doesn't necessarily have someone to fill that role right now. Sure, you could put, you know, the Diaz Graham twins can swing down to the four, but I see this as more of a, it's so hard with basketball. We talk the numbers, but it's so positionless nowadays that it's not a traditional 1-2-3-4. But I see him being that guy that kind of fills, in a way, I say, a Blake Hinson role with his ability to be so versatile. Like you said, we're not getting a star like Blake Hinson, probably. Who knows? You never know. But this is the type of player that I think they should be targeting. But I think the priority first should be finding a combo guard.
I agree. Finding a person who could play fit that role of a two and coming off the bench would be huge for this team as well. We'll keep an eye on all things Pitt basketball transfer portal as that moves on. But let's switch on to a football question, as the spring game did happen. So now the Pitt football team is officially adjourned, but even though they will be at the facility working, but they will not convene again as a full team until this late July this summer. But Max asks, what did Pitt's offense show with Cade Bell, and how did it look in your eyes on Sunday? Is it really innovative, or is this being overhyped? And of course, Abby, talking about Cade Bell, the new offensive coordinator, and this was an offense that had a lot of that it was supposed to be really fast paced. And Abby, you and I were trying to keep pace with all the plays that are happening. You were amazing with how you were tracking play after play after play. I was sitting there like, after a while, I'm like, you know what? We're just going to just start making up numbers after a while. I mean, we did not do that. But it was at one point I was just like, you guys aren't letting us sit here and track what's happening. There's no official stat keeper from the press box to let us know if we're right or wrong. That was pretty chaotic. But we also only saw a vanilla part of the offense, as always happens with spring games across the board. Teams aren't trying to show the world their full offense, you know, in April as it is. But I will say this. We talked with guys like Kenny Johnson, guys like with Kanate Mumfield, and they were talking about how Cade Bell's offense allows for a lot more pre-snap motion, which allows for wide receivers to not have to stand in the same spots and sometimes get more mismatches to just naturally be open than have to beat their opponent one-on-one every single time. You still need them to win one-on-ones, but if you can design ways to get these guys open more freely without them having to do that all the time, that's where innovative offensive play callers come in. And it does seem like that at least Cade Bell is smart enough to give his guys those opportunities. Granted, we didn't get to see all of the tricks in the trade on Saturday. I do think that we saw some of that happen with Nate Yarnell completing 12 of 16 passes. And once Eli Holstein got his feet under him, him also having a good day.
Yeah, I think the one thing we have to remember is that was day 15 for that team with this new style of offense. So the fast pace was definitely there. Like Chris said, I was flying all over the place trying to keep up with it. High school football prepared me for that, man. but what I did like was they were making sure the fast pace was a priority, even though there were times where it seemed like Nate Yarnell and Eli Holstein were a little overwhelmed with the options and the reading everything. They still kept it fast pace. And once they settled in, I feel like their reps that we saw in the second half were a lot more solid than their reps in the first.
Mm-hmm.
Apologies for the whistle. There's a child outside my house blowing a whistle very loudly. That's fun. And that's what I liked is that you know, we're not going to see the whole picture here. We're installing a thing, a completely new system that these guys, many of these guys, haven't had to do before. And seeing them settle in was impressive. And I think with just more time, it's going to just become more stronger. And so to answer that, is it really innovative or is this being overhyped? I think it's way too early to tell, genuinely, just because these guys just haven't had enough time to settle in on it. What we've seen, it gives a good look. I think there's reasons to be optimistic for sure based on what we saw on Saturday, but it's also way too early.
Yeah, I think it is way too early to determine that. And that's the thing, like, it's all precursory. Like, all of this is just kind of just seeing how players are progressing in things. We won't really know even until Pitt plays its first real opponent next season, our first power opponent. I guess we'll get to see Kent State at the start of the season. That'll be interesting then. But still, you have to wonder just how functional in a game will this offense be. That'll be something that we keep an eye on throughout the offseason as we hear more back, and then especially when Pitt football camp returns this summer. Now, for our last question, we go away from football and basketball to the best team at Pitt right now, and that's Pitt volleyball. Matt asks, is the 2024 Pitt volleyball team the best chance for the University of Pittsburgh to win a national championship so far this century? Abby, a few things here. I do think that it should be noted that Pitt does have a national champion in Nico Bonacorsi. That's a guy who won the national championship for wrestling, just back last year or in 2023. So shout out to Nino Bonacorsi and his efforts there for Pitt wrestling. But still, it's different about a team winning a national championship. And that could be something that would be amazing. Now, Pitt volleyball, they've been in the Final Four. They've regularly been there. So naturally, it seems like they do have. But I'll ask you this as a lead into your answer to this question, Abby. Do you feel like this upcoming group could be the best of the last several that Pitt has gotten to the Final Four?
Yeah, so when I look at the three teams that have gotten to the Final Four before this, I think it's easy to say that the 2021 squad was probably the most talented on paper. The problem with that was their first NCAA tournament experience in a while, made it to the Final Four, which is amazing and should be applauded because it was really impressive what they were able to do so quickly under Dan Fisher. The difference is almost every single player on this 2024 squad have played in a Final Four. A majority of them have played in multiple Final Fours. And I think in this instance, The talent on this team is amazing. I don't know necessarily how it compares one-to-one to the 2021 team with players like Kayla Lund, Serena Gray, Chinaza Nadi. But they have the experience, and sometimes experience in these situations outweighs the talent. But the thing with the Pitt is they have the experience and they have the talent. They return ACC Setter of the Year, Rachel Fairbanks, and ACC Freshman of the Year, Olivia Babcock. Really, the only position group that they don't return is the middle blocker, but they have good talent coming back. And so I think if there's going to be a team to make it to the national championship game and potentially win one, I think this is the team that could do it, just looking from a volleyball perspective. But I do want to point out, to look at this question, Pitt's Olympic sports are really good and are constantly competing for national titles. I mean, you look at men's soccer was in the Final Four in 22, and women's soccer was in the Elite Eight in 23. And these are two teams that are in the tournament year after year after year. And so if I had to bet money, I would say yes, this volleyball team is arguably the best chance. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't think you can really take it because these soccer teams are so good as well. And the wrestling team and so many of Pitt's Olympic sports are just so quality. The volleyball team just has the experience of being to multiple Final Fours.
No, I agree. And experience is very important. It also sets, even beyond the experience of the players, I think it sets expectations for the program where that kind of trickles down, right? Like, you know, one group gets it and then the next group wants to uphold it or surpass it. And I think that's something that Pitt Volleyball has on its side now, that they expect now to go to the Final Four because that's just what they've been doing the past several years. So I think that's also certainly part of the equation here. And you're also right about, you know, the chances of the University of Pittsburgh. I'll go even bigger. I'll even say the city of Pittsburgh, because the Steelers, I think, have a chance to be a competitive team this next year, but I don't think that they're, you know, close to Super Bowl talks yet at all. The Penguins, they're fighting for their playoff lives as we speak. The Pirates are the Pirates, even though they are looking better right now than they have in a while. But still, even so, the best chance is the team that's been into the dance and into the Final Four multiple times and just keeps coming up short, eventually them finding an answer. I'm right with you here. Pitt Volleyball is the best chance for a national championship team this century. Yes.
And I'm just really excited about this team. I finally got to put eyes on them on Sunday. They played Penn State. And, you know, they haven't totally worked out their kinks. A lot of that has to do with they're figuring out what's going on the middle blocker position. They are fortunate to have depth at the middle blocker position this year that they didn't have last year. Mm-hmm. And then they had two their freshmen. But they, much like you see in football, they forego their second semester senior year to come early to prepare for that. And so there's a lot of great things. Tori Stafford returns, Emmy Clicker returns, Valeria Vasquez Gomez returns. You're returning majority of this core unit that led them to the Final Four. I'm really hot on this team, so much so that I've decided I'm driving to Penn State this upcoming weekend to watch them again.
There you go. Abby, always on the grind to get you the best coverage here as we cover all things college sports in Pittsburgh. Abby, thanks so much for joining me on the Pitt Mailbag Show. Thank you all for joining us on the Pitt Mailbag Show. Remember, you can find this show every Tuesday on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this channel to get all of our daily content that comes out from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm going to be back tomorrow with more on all things Pittsburgh sports with the North Shore Drive podcast every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Thanks again for tuning in, everyone. We'll see you again next week here on the Pitt Mailbag Show, brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.